Wednesday, August 31st, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. You have now made it halfway through your work week, your school week, and I hope that your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong. Everyone is staying healthy right now. We are happy to have you here with us today. And you know, I know that last week, college football got started. Sort of, right? Like it was a little bit of a like an appetizer, but not like a full course meal. We got a taste. We got a hint. Hey, it's starting to feel like football season is back. But now, this week, football season actually is back. Because we have some big time games this week, and I mean big time. College football is officially back. Check out the slate that we have coming this week. Starting on Friday, as Western Michigan, a team that has had at least a little bit of success, goes to East Lansing to face number 15 Michigan State, a team that is hoping that they can be a player in the Big Ten. Not a bad night for a Friday night game. We do also get TCU under their new head coach, Sonny Dykes, coming here to my home state, going up to Boulder to face the Colorado Buffaloes. Is Colorado going to do anything this year? I kind of doubt it, but I'll say this. They need to get off to a good start against TCU because their schedule is going to get a little bit tougher after this. Okay, so that's Friday. Nothing huge, but not bad, right? We move on to Saturday. Saturday, we get Colorado State, a school that, I mean, they're mid-major. They're not really big time. I like some of the things they're doing. They're going to number 8 Michigan. We're going to see what Jim Harbaugh has this year. I'm expecting a blowout there, but that's not bad. And then we're going to get some big time games this weekend because we get number 11 Oregon going to Atlanta to face number 3 Georgia on Saturday afternoon. Hey kids, I can't wait for that. Oregon head coach Dan Lanning is Georgia's former defensive coordinator. Can you imagine if the Pac-12 knocks off the defending SEC champion, the defending national champion? Hey, the Ducks can do some big work for their conference on Saturday. Also on Saturday, we get number 23 Cincinnati, a school that, you know, last year had so much success, made it to the national playoff. They will open up the season on Saturday going to number 19 Arkansas. Again, an SEC team that's got some expectations. They're going to be very, very physical. I can't wait for that game. Number 7 Utah will go to the Swamp to face the Florida Gators. In our college football preview last week, if you listened, you know, both myself and Big Rob are pretty big on the University of Utah. Can they get over that initial hump, beating an SEC team on the road to put their season on the right track and maybe give them a chance to make some noise a little bit later this year? I can't wait for that game either. Saturday evening, we get the main course because we get number 5 Notre Dame. A program that is getting, from some people, way too much credit. Why are they ranked number 5? They lost a lot of people. Well, we're going to find out if Notre Dame is truly deserving of that number 5 spot because they will be going to the Horseshoe. Yes, Columbus, Ohio, to face number 2 Ohio State on Saturday night. That is going to be a big, big time game. I am holding my breath for that one. That's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, we're not done on Saturday. Because, of course, this is Labor Day weekend. Here in the States, that means we don't have anything going on Monday. So on Sunday, with the NFL not starting yet, Sunday night, we're going to get Florida State, a program that is trying to get back on the map, a program that is trying to build themselves back up. They will be going to New Orleans to face Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers. Hey, we talked a little bit about Brian Kelly last week. He wanted to go to the big time program. He wanted to be able to recruit the big time athletes. Well, you're at LSU now. Let's see what you can do at home to a Florida State squad that you know is stocked with Florida talent. Can Brian Kelly get a big win at home? Or could the Seminoles maybe take a step towards proving, hey, we're kind of back. We're getting a little bit better. Big game for both of those programs. We finish off the weekend with number 4 Clemson, a school that after last year, people are kind of down on. People are wondering if their run is over. They will go to Georgia Tech. Not a great matchup, but again, we got Monday Night Football. Kids, we are back to football season. College football is going to be rolling. And don't look now, but the NFL is going to be right behind it as well. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. And yes, we have links to the Daily Dose gear. Maybe you are going to a game this year and you'd like to sport some Daily Dose gear. You need a t-shirt. You need a sweatshirt. You need a hoodie. Well, all you have to do is go over to DailyDoseSports.com, follow the links. You can get exactly what you need. Plus, I'm putting up a new article every Tuesday. Young Jimmy will put up an article on Thursdays. And you can always find links to the podcast and to the video. So make sure that you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com each and every week. Hey, today on the show, we are doing something a little bit different because we want to get you ready for the 2022 NFL season. And, you know, we're going to talk about it here on the show. This season, who do you even pick? I mean, the AFC is stacked with teams. The NFC, well, it's kind of top heavy. But today on The Dose, we are going to be joined by a few friends of the show to preview every single team in the NFL. We're going to be going through, making our picks. Who's going to be in the playoffs? Who's going to be sitting at home? Who is going to be going to Super Bowl 57? We have a ton to get to today on our Daily Dose NFL preview. In fact, let's go ahead and jump into that right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we are bringing back some friends of the Dose. We are going to be previewing the 2022 NFL season. And I'm just telling you right now, just personally, I can't wait for this season. Going to be a lot of fun. It is wide open. We were talking just before we started recording. It is so wide open. There's so much parity. Who knows what's going to happen? But you can trust us because we're going to let you know exactly what's going to happen. First up, we have Big Rob, who is back again this week after doing our college football preview last week. Rob is a West Virginia Mountaineer, and he is our local Philadelphia Eagles fan. Rob, welcome back to The Dose.
Thank you. It's good to be back another week talking football. Looking forward to it.
I can't wait. Mike from Castle Rock is back. You know, Mike stops in. He talked actually some Denver Broncos history the last time I think that he was in. But Mike joins us to talk some NFL, and I know that he's chomping at the bit to get the season going as well. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Clint. Hey, you know, it's funny. Today, I don't know about up at your place, but it's about as cold as it's been in a while. It feels like fall out there, and what an appropriate day to talk football. I tell you, I'm excited.
It's a nice, cool day. You do start to get that feeling like, is fall here? Because it's been real hot. Now we get a couple days where it's a little cooler, starting to feel like fall's here and football is here. Had a little bit of college football going this past weekend. It is time to jump in and enjoy some NFL too. And finishing off our esteemed panel, we have Larry from Centennial. Larry, football season is finally here. First, what shirt are you wearing? What are you wearing right there?
Oh, this old thing?
That old thing? Where'd you get that? What are you doing?
It's just something I picked up. In Utah,
What were you doing in Utah? Were you skiing? What'd you have going?
Well, no, it's summertime, right? Still, it's kids are fully moved in. Both kids are Utah Utes as of last week. So,
what? Yeah, is a Ute?
What is a Ute?
Well, congrats on sending your kids out to Utah. And I'm assuming that you can go out there and now you can ski out there.
Absolutely.
How's the skiing out there?
A lot of fringe benefits to having people in Utah. Skiing is awesome in Utah. It's world class.
Is it better than Colorado? Are you going to say it's better than Colorado?
It depends on where you go and what you want to ski. But it is.
Shots fired.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I can't complain about it at all.
Gentlemen, once again, The NFL is king. The NFL is back. And we have some really interesting storylines to kind of watch as this season begins. You know, like we already talked about, parity is king in the NFL. And parity is horrible. No one's great. And also, parity is amazing because no one's great. Everyone has a chance. Right now, you can be the worst team in the league and you're going, I don't know. We might run the table. We might be that Cincinnati Bengals team from a year ago that no one saw coming and is going to surprise everyone. And that is what this league gets right every single year. But we also have a few interesting storylines that I want to get your thoughts on. First off, Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, he kind of had to get his trade figured out. He got moved from Houston to Cleveland. Then we had all the sexual misconduct stuff going. Well, he settled up those accusations. And originally, a judge appointed by the NFL suspended him for 6 games, which would have had him back on the field in like October. Then the NFL said, well, I think we're going to offend some people with that judgment. So let's, you know, kind of do the politically correct thing. They changed his suspension to 11 games, kind of an odd number, and fined him $5 million for asking for massages that I'm not going to describe in detail right now. This would have Deshaun Watson coming back for week 13 against, against his old team. He'll be back against the Houston Texans. That's just a wacky coincidence, right? Like, what the world? How on earth did they get that one? He's going to come back. I think it's week 13 against Houston, his former team. Mike, did they just make it 11 weeks so he'd be back for that game? Is that all they did?
Oh, that was just a huge coincidence. That had nothing to do with it. The NFL doesn't know how to market themselves. That was just happened to. I mean, 11. That's a nice round number, right? I mean, it's double the original. No, it was just a coincidence. Yeah.
Did they get it right? Like, are we happy with the judgment? Is 11 games? Is that gonna suit everybody? Does it matter?
I personally don't think it's enough. It wasn't a couple women.
No, it wasn't. And they all had the same story. It was 24, 25, 38. I don't know. It was a lot.
I don't know. It was not enough.
Rob, what did you think? Is this suspension enough? Is this what we got to go with?
I guess so. To be honest, I'm surprised the NFL didn't stick with the original 6.
I was too. Really was.
Me too. Yeah. I felt like, I mean, at the end of the day, the NFL really doesn't care. They're just trying to, you know, pick a number to appease. So I thought they were just going to go with the judge and, you know, pretend like she had the last call, but, you know, they added extra games to it. So I guess so.
Doesn't this feel a lot like the Ray Rice situation where it was like, hey, here's our ruling. Everybody goes, what? That's crazy. Well, what we meant to say was we meant to say this. That's what this feels like. Larry, did they get this right?
No, they didn't get it right. And for, you know, a number of different reasons. There's so much to talk about here. But the next time they get one right will be the first time.
That's true.
Horrible track record. The neutral judge, I guess, is a good, in between there. But then if you have a neutral judge, then the NFL ends up appealing the sentence here. The whole press conference, or maybe it wasn't a press conference, but Q&A with Watson, where he says he's innocent, but he settles. Where there's smoke, there's fire, man. And he hasn't been convicted of anything. Everything about this is so strange. And so there's no way. If you don't know what happened and you can't rule on what happened, then is it, what are the chances of anything being right?
Yeah.
So I'm taking the, no, it's not right.
I'm seriously starting to, and this is going to probably not make people happy. I'm starting to wonder if the league should just get out of the whole, I get why they do it, but let the law take its course. And then once it's done, then you can do what you need to do. But until then, issuing some sort of silly suspension. What if more cases come out and they go to court, and then he is found guilty? Well, we suspended him 11 games. The whole thing is stupid to me. I don't know. Maybe these leagues need to get out of business.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, but, you know, he's going to play this season. We know he's going to play. And the NFL doesn't lose either way, right? If they get it a little bit wrong, it was a really large suspension. But if, you know, more information comes out, it doesn't matter to the NFL. Everyone's talking about it. They're going to tune in. Bad press is press, right? So ultimately, they don't lose either way.
They win every time. I like Rob, I thought they would just sweep it under the carpet and be like, hey, get to football. We don't care. We just want to get him back on the field. You know, this offseason, we saw some quarterbacks moving around at like a record rate. Seattle trades Russell Wilson to Denver. Thank you. Matt Ryan leaves Atlanta and goes to the Indianapolis Colts. Deshaun Watson, of course, is in Cleveland. Washington got Carson Wentz. Rob, you're familiar with Carson Wentz. Is he going to be the biggest success story out of this whole group?
He is not. Same old Carson Wentz. Yeah, kind of feel bad for him where he ended up landing, you know, there in Washington. A long season for them.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a little bit of a tough one. We have one other story that I want to touch on here, because the Miami Dolphins have had quite the eventful offseason. We're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins in just a second. But first, they went out. They made a few moves. They get that huge deal to get wide receiver Tyreek Hill from Kansas City. And then things got real weird because Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady had retired. Then we found out that he may have been in talks to go to Miami. Then that kind of got snuffed out. Then Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians retired. So Brady unretired after like a few days. Then Patriots head coach Bill Belichick accidentally texted former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores to tell him congrats on the Giants job. He says he actually meant to text Brian Daboll. Flores says this is proof the Giants weren't even looking at him because of his race. The Dolphins, meanwhile, were talking to former Saints head coach Sean Payton. I know this is all very, very confusing. The bottom line is this. The NFL hit the Miami Dolphins hard for all of whatever it was they were doing. They pulled some draft picks. They hit Stephen Ross, their owner, with a $1.5 million fine, pretty substantial fine. Mike, I think the bottom line in this whole weird, crazy story is that Bill Belichick is a rat and snitches get stitches. Also, while this sounds like a really tough punishment, I mean, isn't this just kind of the league saving the Dolphins from like drafting Chad Henne anyway? So who cares? Did Bill Belichick rat this whole thing out? Was that on purpose?
He's say what you want about him. I don't think anything is unintentional that he does. I think everything's calculated. Yep. So no, I don't think it was an accident.
It's either senile or on purpose, right? Like there's no in between. There's no in between. Maybe he's crazy like a fox. Having said that, congrats, Dolphins. You won't go out and draft Deion Jordan again. So does it really hurt that bad? Probably not. Okay, let's jump into our divisional previews. We are going to start in that AFC East. The East has been dominated for years by the New England Patriots, but that does seem to be changing. Kids, the Buffalo Bills are the top contender right now to win it all. Can the AFC East get back to a Super Bowl this year? Going to be asking our esteemed panel here. Let's start off with that AFC East winner, the Buffalo Bills. The Bills went 11-6 last year. They win the East. They went to the AFC divisional round playoff. They got beat by the Kansas City Chiefs. But they went out and they picked up pass rusher Von Miller this year. He knows how to make big plays. He knows how to make them at key times. This team is Super Bowl or bust, which sounds crazy because we're talking about Buffalo. Quarterback Josh Allen is a star. I really like what Buffalo did in the draft. I think they need to get a little bit better running the football, but Buffalo has a lot of pieces. Larry, should the Buffalo Bills be considered the favorite this year for the Super Bowl?
One of them. Yeah, 100%. I think they didn't get any worse necessarily. You're right about the running game. Defense is solid. You got Josh Allen with another year under his belt. They know how to win. It sounds weird saying this kind of stuff about Buffalo, but then you look at the division, which is kind of flip-flopped a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I would consider some of those games, you know, even wins. They should be in total control of the division, sets them up for the playoffs. Yeah, absolutely.
Bills are a big dog. Does anyone here not have the Bills in the playoffs? Everyone's got Bills in. All right. I'm just going to pencil that in. Next up, we have those Miami Dolphins, and they're kind of goofy in the front office with all that stuff that, you know, was happening. But on the field, Miami should be pretty good. You've got Tyreek Hill. You've got Jalen Waddle. You've got tight end Mike Gesicki. This offense has a ton of speed. They pick up nerdy new head coach Mike McDaniel, who does seem to be really good at scheming things for offensive players. Rob, can Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa throw the ball further than 30 yards so that Miami can actually use that speed and get into a playoff hunt? What do you got for Miami?
That's going to be the question. It all comes down to Tua. The schedule is a little rough, so I'm worried about him. So I think they will be better. But like I said, it's really up to Tua. He's got plenty of weapons there. Can he get the ball to him, like you said? Me personally, I don't think so. I think they will be better, but I have them missing the playoffs.
I do too. Mike, Dolphins in or no?
No.
Larry, Dolphins?
Out.
We all agree. So they're getting in for sure. Next up, after over a decade on top, the New England Patriots have been struggling a little bit lately. Last year, rookie quarterback Mac Jones, he showed some flashes. And this is definitely his team now. Hey, I like Mac Jones. Their defense should be pretty solid. I think the problem is there's not a ton of like skill position players to help Mac Jones out. They don't have a ton of speed. They don't have like dangerous game breakers where you're looking at a guy going, okay, we got to find a way to stop this guy. They barely even have an offensive coordinator. Mike, we just talked about Bill Belichick a little bit. He gets a ton of credit for building that dynasty. Has he now completely lost his marbles, or are like the Patriots going to get back to contention? Are they going to be a playoff team this year?
You know what? I think they might sniff the playoffs. They were, what, top two, three defense last year in points allowed?
Yeah.
I think they were better than most people think as far as points scored per game last year offensively. Not a lot of flashy talent on offense, though. You're right about that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But, you know, anytime you can keep things close and have a really good defense, you got a shot.
Who's got New England making the playoffs this year? No one. I think they're going to be right at the edge. I don't have them getting in, but I think they're going to be very, very close. Finally, finish off the AFC East. We reached the New York Jets, who are making some slow improvements. They drafted quarterback Zach Wilson last year. Head coach Robert Saleh, he got this team to play hard. I know they went 4-13 last year, but a couple of those games, they were close. They were in it. They actually were playing and competitive. I think that shows a lot about this team. They're getting better. I think the question is, can Zach Wilson be the guy? He's a little bit dinged up in the preseason. Is he going to come back and actually be the leader of this team? Larry, would you feel confident turning the keys over to Zach Wilson this year? And also, can he have your mom's phone number?
No, absolutely. You cannot have my mom's phone number. But yeah, I mean, you got to turn the keys over to him now. I think, you know, and you're right. They are getting better. That, you know, I don't know that they are ready, but I don't see any other, you know, options really for him. Put the quarterback in, let him play, and let him continue to grow. Somebody's got to be last in the division. I have them last.
I do too.
Just because they're, you know, new, young, and unproven, you know, talent at the quarterback position, they're going to learn. But yeah, you got to hand it over to them.
So the four of us only have the Bills getting in out of this division, correct? Everybody's just got the Bills. Okay, we finish up the AFC East. Next up, we have the NFC East, which maybe last year was a little bit better than we expected, because we all kind of looked at it and said, this is going to be a terrible, you know, division. We're going to have a team getting in with an under 500 record. Hey, the Dallas Cowboys won the division. They go 12-5. The Philadelphia Eagles actually scraped their way into the playoffs too. They went 9-8. Unfortunately, neither team advanced past wild card weekend. The good news for this division, once again, based on just preseason, their strength of schedule that they're facing should be pretty soft. It should be pretty manageable. Let's start off with those Dallas Cowboys. Because like I said, the Cowboys went 12-5 last year. They scored some points, big points. The defense was a little bit better. Yet in the playoffs, they get beat at home by the San Francisco 49ers. And in crunch time, quarterback Dak Prescott pooped his pants, forgot where he was. The clock runs out. The offseason has not been kind to the Cowboys either. They lose Amari Cooper. They lose Lyle Collins. They lose Randy Gregory. Rob, do the Cowboys take a big step backward this year based on those losses?
Yeah, I think they do. Like you mentioned, didn't do anything in the offseason, really. Lost a lot of people. Amari Cooper, you know, Zeke's getting older there. So I think healthy Dak kind of keeps them in the conversation, but it's still the Cowboys at the end. So, you know, we're pretty much 500 like they always are. But I've got them missing the playoffs.
I've got him missing the playoffs as well. And how long, because we just look at Zeke and you go, hey, big stud running back, he's going to, how long are we going to keep thinking that? Because he's not really showing it on the field. Mike, you got Dallas making his playoffs either?
I got him just out.
I got him just out as well. Larry, how about you? Where do you come in on Dallas?
I have him in as wild card.
You have him in as wild card. Larry goes Dallas. Going to be very interesting to watch Dallas. And some of the people they lost are going to be very, very tough to replace. We'll see how they finish up. The New York Giants were truly dreadful last year. The Giants went 4-13, and they looked really, really bad in the process. You know, it's crazy because the Giants kind of used to be that model of, like, consistency. You knew the Giants are going to be tough. Maybe they won't be great, but they're going to be good every single year. Now they look like they're being run by a bunch of drunken toddlers or something. The Giants have gone through 5 head coaches in 8 seasons. That's insane. Now they bring in head coach Brian Daboll in hopes that he can do for Daniel Jones what he did for Josh Allen as the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. Mike, who's going to tell Brian Daboll that Daniel Jones is closer to Josh McCown than Josh Allen?
Oh, boy. He's just not showing much, is he?
Improvement. Is there any hope for this Giants team this year?
No, I don't think there is. There's not a lot to work with. You're going to need a huge leap from Daniel Jones for them to even compete with anything, to even think about a 6 or 7 game win season. You know, Saquon should be back and healthy. Yeah. That's going to help reduce some of the pressure off of him. But there's not a lot going on there. Who's your wide receiver crew?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I don't even think I know. Goodness, that's really, really bad. Phil McConkey, I think, is probably their best wide receiver. Yeah, the Giants have just taken such a tumble. We're so used to they were just always good. Now they're just terrible. And it's kind of weird. We just talked about the Jets. Now we talked about the Giants. We've already talked about Buffalo. There is one team in New York that is a Super Bowl contender, and the other two teams might be contending for, like, worst team in the league kind of honors, which is kind of crazy. Next up, we have the Philadelphia Eagles, who surprised a lot of people by making the playoffs last year. Then they even battled Tampa Bay a little bit in those playoffs. But here's what I like about Philly. They had a really good offseason. They go get wide receiver A.J. Brown. They get Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean in the NFL draft. I think those were steals. I like the direction the Philadelphia Eagles are going. Rob, you are our resident Eagles fan. How's this all going to go bad? You're used to it. What's going to go wrong here?
It's the beginning of the season. We have hope now. We've got the hope. But yeah, I've definitely got him in. I've got him winning the division, like you said. It all comes down to Hurts. Can he throw it when he needs to? They added the receivers. I hope they still stay run first, though. I think that's the key. You just can't turn it over to him completely. And if he can throw when he needs to, I think they'll be okay. But yeah, I've got him in as the division winner.
I do too. And it's going to be interesting, because it's going to be tough to get another team in out of this division. I think just the way they're going, I think the Eagles might be a little bit of a sneaky pick overall in the NFL. Because if they get to play all those teams twice, that might actually kind of bode well for them. They can beef up on that schedule. We finish out the NFC East with the Washington Commanders, whose 7-10 record is not really indicative of their complete and total dysfunction. Washington went out this year, think about this for a second, and gave $28 million to quarterback Carson Wentz. And so far, he looks terrible. Owner Daniel Snyder has actually stepped away from the organization as his team's workplace culture is being reviewed. This is all bad. Larry, the Washington Commanders seem to be like the perfect example of Washington, D.C. Is Ron Rivera going to drain this swamp, Larry?
Year after year, and it just gets worse, right? I mean, the whole Daniel Snyder thing has been going on for a long time. maybe not the workplace stuff, but he's been such a horrible owner.
Yes.
We probably have already spent too much time talking about this. They've got maybe a couple pieces, and that's about it. The Carson Wentz thing is going to be bad. They're going nowhere fast. Yeah.
You know, it was just 2 years ago. I'm looking at Washington, and they go get Chase Young, and I'm like, hey, maybe they're kind of on the rise. They're going to get this defense going. This is just another example of how bad things start at the top mm-hmm. and trickle down. And mm-hmm. you can't overcome bad ownership and bad front office. You just can't. It doesn't matter.
There's a couple examples, one close to home. It doesn't take a genius. That's exactly what it is. If you got good leadership at the top, yeah, at least you have a fighting chance to be successful. When you don't, name me a team who's that's ever been in flux or had bad leadership that has been successful. So it ain't happening.
If you would have told us that Daniel Snyder would make us long for the classiness of Jack Kent Cook, we would have said, "There's no way. Like, that can't happen." That's how bad it is in Washington.
I don't know how you'd be a fan.
Did you see their training camp?
Yeah.
There's more people on this podcast right now than were at that training camp. Nobody is a fan. They're going like rats on a ship. They're bailing.
And they've fallen really far, right? I mean, they were really good there for stretches, but
for a long time. And they were that team that, like you said, they were the team that always sold out. They're the team that had that, that home crowd.
Yeah.
What in the world? He has just run that thing completely into the ground. Yep. All bad for Washington. So Larry, you've got Dallas getting in. Do you have any other teams? Do you have Philly and Dallas?
Philly's, my division winner, and then Dallas sneaking in.
And then everyone else just has Philadelphia getting in. Is that correct? Mike, you have just Philly?
Yep.
Okay. We move next to a division that just gets more and more competitive every single year, and that is the AFC North. Because for so many years, it was just like a one-team race, maybe a two-team race. Last year, the Cincinnati Bengals go to the Super Bowl, and the Baltimore Ravens finished in last place. Who knows what's going to happen this year? Maybe it's going to surprise us again this year. Let's start off with those Baltimore Ravens. They finished fourth, and we probably all picked them to win the thing. They missed the postseason last year with an 8-9 record. The defense just wasn't as good as it has been in years past. The Ravens gave up big plays. Those are the things that sometimes kill you. They had a ton of injuries. This team needs Lamar Jackson to carry them. Last year, it looked like it was a little bit too much for him. Mike, Lamar Jackson wants a new contract. Here's the question I have. Is this team around him good enough to convince him that, like, I'm not going to have to do all the heavy lifting? Or does he need to kind of wait and see what they're going to do personnel-wise and be like, hey, are you going to surround me with more people? Because I'm having to carry everything right now. Does Lamar want to resign, or does he need to get more?
Yeah, this is the year to prove that, because last year that did not show that. I mean, I think that's the lowest ranked Ravens defense in the last decade. I think they're like 16th or 17th, which I know some teams would kill for, but that is not a Ravens defense, and actually I think they're lower. I think they're about 19th. Offensively, you lose your one good receiver.
Yeah.
They've got a great tight end, but if you can start doubling a tight end because you're not worried about the receivers, what are you going to do? This is going to be an interesting year for Jackson, because if he does get them into the playoffs and truly carries them on his shoulders, he's going to stand pat and say, I need the world.
Give him the bank. He deserves it if he does this year, because they don't have much around him, which is so weird to see, because we're just used to Baltimore. Same thing. We're just used to them always having so much. We're looking at him going, really? That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of us have Baltimore getting into the playoffs? I've got Baltimore scraping in. Anybody else have Baltimore getting in?
I have.
Rob, everybody does?
Yep.
I do not.
Mike does not. Okay. We move next to the defending AFC champion, which just sounds completely insane. But the Cincinnati Bengals somehow went to the Super Bowl last year. Like, stop and think about that for a second. The world didn't end or anything. I view that as kind of a positive. However, they lost the Super Bowl. And while we all love Joe Burrow, losing the Super Bowl, for whatever reason, it causes severe hangover. Like it or not, they could come back this year and be better than last year and not go as far. Things kind of broke right for them. Rob, quarterback Joe Burrow, he just seems like he has it. Whatever it is, he has it. But we know the Bengals. How are they going to break his spirit?
I think he's going to be okay, actually. Burrow's definitely the guy. O-line was a big problem, which they tried to address it. It's going to take some time for that to gel. So I don't see him being as good as last year, but I have him back in the playoffs here. I've got Ravens winning the division, and I got them getting in as a wild card.
Rob's got Cincy in. I've got Cincy winning the division and Baltimore getting in as a wild card. Larry, do you have Cincinnati getting in this year? They're going to get back?
I do. I have them, same as Rob. I have them as the wild card with Baltimore as the division winner. And you got to look at how they won and went on that run for the Super Bowl, right? I don't think Joe Burrow is going to replicate what he was able to withstand, with that offensive line. I think they're good. I think they're young. I think they're good, which is why I got them as a wild card. But, you know, they had a lot of things bounce right their way, combined with the fact that I think they're, you know, that they have that amnesia that you have to have if you're going to be good. And you just go out and play the game, not knowing that you're supposed to lose, right? So yeah. They got a lot of good things going for them. It wouldn't surprise me if Baltimore and Cincy flip-flopped, but I'm just, kind of thinking it's kind of hard to replicate what they did last year.
Yeah, I would agree. Mike, you got Cincy getting in this year?
I got them winning the division.
Yeah.
Their biggest Achilles heel, and it definitely showed itself in the Super Bowl, is their offensive line.
Yep.
And they stacked the offensive line in the offseason. So, is it a top five offensive line? No. But is it a bottom five anymore? No. That's you've got an incredible wide receiving crew.
Yep.
They're young. And I think with a better offensive line, Mixon's going to be even better. I think the offense will be a little bit better another year under Joe Burrow. I think they win the division going away.
The interesting thing to me about Cincinnati was watching their defensive line, because we know their offensive line did struggle. That defensive line was so much better than they got credit for. Every single game, somehow every quarterback they faced was uncomfortable, including Matt Stafford in the Super Bowl. They were doing a much better job than they get credit for. I've got Cincy getting in. They'll be interesting. But we have the Cleveland Browns next, because the Cleveland Browns might be one of the biggest mysteries in the league. I don't know what to think of them. Last year, they go 8-9. I know that the thought process for many people is if you went 8-9 with Baker Mayfield, then if we add Deshaun Watson, they'll win a few more games. Unfortunately, he's going to miss 11 of them. So you're going to have to go with the backup quarterback there. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know how they're going to be without Deshaun. And your whole season is going to be waiting for that guy to come back. He's going to come back and be your savior, but you can't get too far behind. They're going to be starting probably Jacoby Brissett. I don't know how that's going to go. Larry, if Deshaun Watson has a groin strain, are you able to massage it for him? And can the Browns make the playoffs without him, because he's going to miss a good part of the season?
I refrain from any man-on-man massage.
All right.
Okay. So, isn't it funny how Cleveland just ended up back where they were with, after all this, right?
Yes.
It's too much to overcome. And I appreciate the fact that Watson, everybody touts him as the best quarterback around. But I haven't seen him play in a couple of years, so I don't even remember, right? But they're not gonna set the world on fire with Brissett, and the way Mayfield left, that probably could have been handled a little bit better. But I don't think they have enough, and certainly at the quarterback position, they won't be competing against Baltimore and Cincy.
Well, and, you bring up a good point, because they're going to be facing two, maybe three really good teams in the division alone. Mm-hmm. You're going to be facing with a backup quarterback. And when all your hopes and dreams are kind of pinned on the guy that's not there,
right.
I don't see how your season goes well. Cleveland just can't stop being Cleveland. There's just no way around that. We finish off the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who went 9-7-1 last year. They somehow made the playoffs. did my brain like forget that? I don't know. I barely remember them getting in. Now though, quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has finally retired. Yeah, it was like 4 years too late, but better late than never. My concern is that awful rush defense, which sounds really weird to say. The Pittsburgh Steelers ranked 32nd in run defense. That doesn't happen. That's so strange to me. Mike, do the Steelers feel this massive loss from Big Ben hanging it up? Or is it really not going to be that big of a drop off? Because he wasn't that great anyways the last few years.
Maybe from a leadership standpoint a little bit. I don't know. But is it addition by subtraction? Not quite, because you're not – I don't think what you're replacing him with is going to be appreciably better.
Yeah.
We're going to start off with Trubisky.
Probably.
You know, who's hot and cold.
Mostly cold.
You know, decent wide receivers, very good running back, questionable offensive line, a surprisingly average to below average defense. They're in trouble.
Yeah, they might be, and that sounds really, really weird to say. I don't know if Trubisky can hang on to the job. It might end up going somewhere else. It might end up going to Mason Rudolph with a dent in his head. I don't know. This doesn't seem like it's going to go well for Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh fans every year are just like, we roll it out and we do it again. Even last year, we made the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to happen. It seems like Pittsburgh has just lost too many pieces. Okay, so now looking at the AFC North. How many people have anybody besides just a division winner getting in? I have got Bengals and Ravens getting in, and that is it. Larry, what do you have from the AFC North?
I've got Baltimore winning, Cincy in as a wild card.
Okay, Mike, what about you? What do you have in the AFC North? Anybody else getting in?
Just Cincy.
Just Cincinnati getting in. Okay, and then Rob, you've got Cincinnati and Baltimore as well.
Yeah, same as Larry. Yeah, Ravens winning the division, since he has the wild card.
Okay. We move on to the old black and blue division. Yes, the vicious and nasty NFC North, where guys like Butkus and Peyton and Page and Tarkington and Favre and Nitschke have played. And the Detroit Lions have also had a team. Last season, the Green Bay Packers won the division with a 13-4 record. No one else finished above 500. Is the Pack just going to run away with this division again? It's possible. Going to be very, very interesting to watch here. Let's start off with the monsters of the mediocre. The Chicago Bears went 6-11 last year. They turned the keys over to rookie quarterback Justin Fields, and honestly, they took some serious lumps for it. After the season, the Bears fired head coach Matt Nagy. They hired Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus right after he got torched by the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 17. Rob, the Bears front office has been drinking on the job for years, but they finally admitted that they need to rebuild this mess. Is Fields going to be the guy to kind of rebuild the Bears back to what they used to be?
Not yet. I think he has the potential to, but they didn't help him at all.
No.
Not at all. I mean, they traded up to get him, and since he's been there, like I said, they've done nothing to address that at all. Full rebuild. At least they finally got rid of Nagy. You know, new coach, new coordinators. I think Fields has potential if he can hang in there for a couple more seasons, but I've got them finishing last in the division.
I do too. And you know, my biggest concern for the Bears, don't break him, right? Like, you've got a nice piece here. Don't ruin him. Don't David Carr him. Because we know that can happen. I'm really worried for Justin Fields. Just like keep him like halfway safe. If he has like a little like sprained ankle, keep him out. Just sit him down. Put some other fool in there. Don't break this kid. Larry, do you have the Bears getting into the playoffs this year?
No, I do not have the Bears getting in. It's exactly what I was going to say, right? Is that hopefully he is a good piece.
Yeah.
And you just hope that, you know, they get their wits about him before it's too late, before he's a broken man, right? And because he'll go out there and compete. You've seen it. He will do the things that, you know, you want that guy to do, but he doesn't have anything else around him.
No, I can't believe the way that they kind of let him down. Mike, I can't imagine you have the Bears doing anything this year, do you?
Let me give you some names here. Darnell Mooney. Velus Jones Jr., Byron Pringle.
Hey, I worked with one of those guys, I think.
Okay. Does anybody know who they are? And B, does it put any fear into any defense? That's the starting wide receiver crew for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they dealt everybody. Everybody's left. They didn't go draft anybody. Hey, they went and hired a defensive coordinator in this era. And I struggle every year. We've talked about this. In this era, why in the world are you not just going out and like getting the most high scoring? We know the whole field's tilted in your favor. Go get the offensive guy. They're going to get the defensive guy that got torched by Trevor Lawrence last year. It's bizarre to me. I don't understand what Chicago's doing, but their fans are not going to probably be very happy this year. We move next to the Detroit Lions, who have been featured on HBO's Hard Knocks this season. And while I'm always like cautious to buy into that too much, I do. I really like what head coach Dan Campbell is doing. He gets this group to play hard. He seems like he really cares about his players. I like that he went out. He's rebuilt that offensive line. It's a very good offensive line. He's trying to rebuild that defensive line. That's eventually going to pay off for them. The problem is they just don't have a ton of skill position players. Larry, are you better than quarterback Jared Goff right now?
No, I'm not.
It's close. Is this team gonna contend?
Surgery, so you know
that's true. if not for that, because you've kind of got a little bit of flexibility back in your shoulder now, don't you?
I do. I remember
you couldn't hardly lift it.
But I used to be able to go up here. Now yeah. I can only go down here.
Right. Yeah. No. It's healing. It's getting better. Can the Lions at least contend for a playoff spot?
No, I don't think so. And we're going to see some good games from them, right?
They'll surprise us,
I think, a couple times. But they don't have enough. And ultimately, they don't have a quarterback to compete. So, you know, and this is a recurring theme. Like, you can almost, like, you know, look at the quarterback position, see who's proven, see who's not. And if there's some talent there, then you got a shot. But I don't think Jared Goff has ever proven that he's that guy. And I think it'll be up to him this year to prove it. But again, kind of like we were talking about with Chicago Bears, I don't know that there's enough around there to have a fighter's chance.
Yeah, I think Detroit is trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I just think they have a long way to go. Mike, you seeing anything from Detroit this year that makes you think they might contend for a playoff spot?
No, just too far to go. I'll echo your sentiments. I think he did a great job of rebuilding that offensive line, which if he hits the right hole will help Swift.
Sure.
Let me throw a little stat out to you here. In today's NFL, which we know is duck and chuck it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Goff has averaged 6.8 yards per throw in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Not good.
That's different teams, two seasons. That ain't going to cut it.
That's Drew Lock-ish.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, they're going to struggle. They've got to get a quarterback, and they've got to surround him with a little more help. If you had a stud in there, maybe he could carry him. Goff isn't that guy. Rob, do you like anything about what Detroit is doing? Are they at least heading in the right direction, though?
Yeah, I think they're heading in the right direction. It's a team that's going to play hard, probably has an upset or two this season, but I don't have them making the playoffs.
I don't either. And every year, Hard Knocks, like, you kind of start rooting for them. You kind of start buying in, and you're like, maybe they're going to be better than I think. And then you realize they're playing themselves every day in practice, and you're going, oh, no, they're going to be terrible. They're beating themselves. That doesn't exactly, you know, count. So, yeah, Detroit, I like the direction they're going. I think they improve, or they just completely flame out and Campbell gets fired and it all just explodes. But I like the direction they're going. Next up, the Green Bay Packers went 13-4 last year, and then they pooped their pants in the playoffs yet again. The Packers lose 13-10 at home against the 49ers, and Aaron Rodgers couldn't score more than 10 points. And remember, at that time, he still had wide receiver Devontae Adams. Following the season, the Packers gave Rodgers a three-year extension worth about $150 million, but they lost Devontae Adams in the process. Now, that defense is still pretty good. Aaron Rodgers, we know, is pretty good, but it doesn't seem like they can get over the hump. Mike, Aaron Rodgers got paid, but it stung a little bit. Do the Packers' title chances stink as bad as Aaron's hippie girlfriends?
NFC title, Super Bowl title, or NFC
Super Bowl title? Super Bowl title. Super Bowl
title.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Who is he throwing the ball to?
I don't know.
Randall Cobb, he's almost as old as Rodgers, and now he's on his second stint there.
Yeah, it hasn't been the same. Yeah.
Yelling at in training camp because they can't catch the ball or run the routes. The thing about them is they won the division by what, 5 games last year, something like that?
Easily, yes.
I see them dropping 2 or 3 games from last year, but still winning the division by default. Very good defense.
Yeah.
2 pretty good running backs. Mm-hmm. And an all-world Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Magic Mushroom. I just don't think there's enough to do a lot of damage in the playoff. He couldn't get to the Super Bowl with all the talent wide receiver. He's not going to do it without.
Well, and isn't this kind of the perfect situation for Aaron Rodgers? He gets to carry them. He gets to drag them. And look how great I'm doing. And, well, okay, we lost. But we lost because these clowns didn't do it. It's kind of like a perfect situation for Rodgers. I think all of us probably have the Packers winning the division.
Yes.
Everybody got Green Bay getting into the playoffs. You don't have Green Bay. I want to come back to that because I'm assuming you're going a different path on that. Do you have Green Bay making the playoffs?
Yeah, I got them as a wild card.
Okay.
Yeah. Same.
You've got them all as a wild card?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. We are rolling on. I'm real interested to see this next pick because I'm a little bit surprised right now. I have Green Bay winning the division.
Yep.
I almost didn't get anything else. Next up, we finish off the NFC North with the Minnesota Vikings, who went 8-9 last year, which I think they do every year. I don't know. After the season, they finally fired head coach Mike Zimmer. They hired Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell. Hey, this team has a ton of weapons for O'Connell to work with. Dalvin Cook is one of the best running backs in the game when he's healthy. Wide receiver Justin Jefferson is so dangerous. He is a big play threat every single play. Adam Thielen, he's still a dangerous guy. He's really, really, really good in like short yardage situations. It's first and goal at the 8. He somehow gets open every time. The problem is their defense is awful. They ranked near the bottom of the league in almost every defensive category last year. Rob, if you are Kevin O'Connell, would you rather waste your time working on that defense, or do you devote all your time to try and make Kirk Cousins a good quarterback?
Option 2.
You go after Kirk. Hey, if you could protect him, maybe you can help him.
Yeah. Like I said, the Vikings, this is my pick to win the division. And kind of like you mentioned, because O'Connell comes in, Cousins is above average. We know he struggles in primetime every year. There is a ceiling there. But I think you bring in an offensive-minded coach. You already mentioned all the weapons they have. And of those losses last year, I want to say 7 or 8 of them, 6 or 7 were one score games. I mean, So they weren't a terrible team. They were in the mix there. If the defense gets a little bit better, you got an offensive minded coach now. I think that bumps them up. Some of those close games that they lost last year, those one score games, they win this year. And I've got them winning the division.
I like your thought process here. Hey, Kirk Cousins, when he is not under pressure, is a good quarterback. It's just that he's always under pressure and he ends up breaking down and making that, huge monumental mistake at the end of the game. Mike, how are you looking at Minnesota this year? Are they a division winner? You got them as a wild card? Do you have them getting in?
Well, to dovetail what you just said, their biggest problem to me is their offensive line. I think it was ranked 27th last year.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't think they did enough to shore that up. And I didn't look enough into it to see if maybe they had some young guys they're hoping to come along or what. But the offensive line is a big problem there. Their defense was not great, but you got Hunter on one side and Za'Darius Smith on the other now. Look
Should
out.
Should be better.
I think that's going to be an improvement. I've got him improving enough to make a wild card.
Okay, I do too. Larry, what about you? You've got Minnesota getting into the playoffs as a division winner.
I do. Rob and I are on the same page. I think things start turning and, a little bit right around what you said, that Rodgers, I don't think he's going to be able to carry it. I think he's older. I think Minnesota starts turning. Yeah, they got some things they got to work on, but they've got weapons, and it's all about scoring points. They've got that, you know, an offensive minded coach. And so I think it's going to be ugly, right? But I do think that Minnesota takes the division.
Let's kind of recap who we have making the playoffs so far. I've got a list going, and I'm going to touch base with each one of you, kind of recap the divisions that we've hit on so far. Rob, you've got the Bills winning the AFC East. You've got the Philadelphia Eagles winning the NFC East. You've got the Baltimore Ravens winning the AFC North. You've got the Cincinnati Bengals in as a wild card. And then in the NFC North, you've got Minnesota winning the division. You've got Green Bay as the wild card representative out of that division as well. Am I missing anybody? Is that right?
Nope, you got it.
Okay. We move next to Mike. Mike, you've got the Bills winning the AFC East. You've got the Eagles winning the NFC East. You've got Cincinnati winning the AFC North. And you've got Green Bay winning the NFC North. Am I missing a team that you have getting in that I don't have down?
Minnesota wild card.
You have Minnesota as a wild card. Okay. And then Larry, you've got the Bills winning the East. You've got Dallas as a wild card in the NFC East. You've got Philly winning the division.
Yep.
And then you have in the AFC North, you have Baltimore winning the AFC North.
Yes.
And Cincinnati getting in as a wild card.
Right.
And then you've got Minnesota winning the NFC North and Green Bay getting in as a wild card.
That's right.
Is that correct? Okay. I've got the Bills winning the AFC East. I've got the Eagles winning the NFC East. Those are the only teams I have coming out of those divisions. In the AFC North, I've got the Bengals winning the division, the Ravens getting in as a wild card. And then in the NFC North, I've got the Packers winning it and the Vikings scraping in as a wild card. So not too many, you know, major disagreements so far. But I'll be very honest, our next round of divisions is going to get much, much, much tougher. And here's the other teaser, because we're also going to be picking who is going to be winning the Super Bowl. Fellas, it's really, really tough. I have my pick down. I can look at my pick card. I might change it four more times. I don't even know, because it's just going to be really, really tough. But gentlemen, we have finished the first part of our 2022 NFL preview. Next week, we're going to be breaking down the AFC and NFC South, the AFC and NFC West, and then we will be making those picks for who's making the playoffs, who is going to, you know, go to the Super Bowl. Plus, you never know. I just might have a surprise or two waiting for you as well. Is everybody here up to join us again and preview the second half of the NFL and make those Super Bowl picks? Everybody in?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to say thank you all so much for stopping by, giving your insight, telling us what to expect this year in the NFL. It's going to be a fun season. I can't wait for it to get here. Rob, do you have any final thoughts after week one of our Super Bowl and NFL preview?
No, just looking forward to week two.
It's going to be really, really tough. I'm kind of struggling with it. Mike, any final thoughts that you have as we get ready to jump into week two next week?
No, it's just going to be interesting to see how everybody's wild card picks come out, because I think that's where some of our differences are going to be.
Yeah, it's so tough. I'm just going to be flipping a coin. I'm going to be throwing a dart at the board. Larry, you came in. You were representing the Utes. What is the Ute? How are you feeling after our, you know, our initial first half preview, and how are you feeling going into next week?
I feel like this was the easy part. I do feel like the other divisions are going to be very, very difficult. And you look at the NFL as a whole, right? You know, my picks are going to be worse than yours. I already know that.
I don't know that.
Well, I do. and it's almost like you can just, you know, shake them up in a hat. And because you never know. We haven't even talked about some of the, you know, surprises. There's going to be those teams that come out of nowhere. So this will be fun next week.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. We will do this again next week, and I can't wait. I can't wait for the season in general. And hey, college football is here. Let's all enjoy that. And the NFL is going to be on us very, very soon. Looking forward to next week. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Clint.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be finishing up this NFL preview and making sure that you are completely and entirely ready for the coming NFL season, because don't look now, but it is just about here. Going to be a very, very fun season, and we are going to get you ready next week. We will be previewing the AFC and NFC South, the AFC and NFC West, and we will be making our picks for the playoffs and our picks for Super Bowl 57. So be sure that you tune into that one, because you are not going to want to miss it. And make sure that you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to our illustrious panel. Rob, Mike, Larry, thank you so much for stopping by and for previewing the 2022 NFL season. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for checking out the new stuff going up every week over at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the podcast, for sharing the video, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody. Larry, would you feel confident turning the keys over to Zach Wilson this year? And also, can he have your mom's phone number?